everybody, and welcome to This Week in Figure Skating for the week of June 25th through July 1st, 2012. Be glad my power came back in time for me to do this. More decisions published this week from the other meeting back in Kuala Lumpur. Outside the Congress, the ISU Council also met, granted full membership to Serbia and Singapore, and they've released numbers of assessments of officials done since 2002. Not that anyone paid attention to that, because more importantly, they declared that even without the preliminary rounds, the ISU competitions must be shrunk because otherwise they can't handle the overload, and they've stuck all of them, even Junior Worlds, with a high minimum tech score. They don't even think this'll keep costs from rising completely, and they're open to adjusting the minimums if too many or too few skaters meet them. But for now, to qualify for Europeans or Four Continents, men must get a technical score of at least 25 points in the short and 45 points in the free. Ladies in pairs must get 20 points for the short and 36 points for the free. And ice dance must get at least 18 tech points for the short and 28 points for the free. For Junior Worlds, singles and pairs skaters must get a tech score of at least 20 points, men must get a free tech score of 40 points, ladies 35 points, and pairs 30 points, while ice dance teams require at least a 17-point tech score for their short and 27 points for their free. And for Worlds, men must score a tech of at least 35 points in the short and 65 points in the free. Ladies in pairs must score at least 20 tech points in the short, with the ladies needing at least 48 points in the pairs, at least 45 for the free, and ice dancers will need a tech score of at least 29 points in the short and 39 points in the free. Those last scores might need adjusting. Right now, they don't supply Worlds with fields as big as the preliminary system was delivering. A few skaters without those scores tweeted their dismay, with Mexican skater Louis Hernandez summing it up, "Dear ISU, your Four Continents technical element score min for qualification isn't reasonable. Your world score, what have you been smoking?" The ISU is now trying to make up for this with new regional development seminars like they'd had in Oberstdorf already. It was announced this week that the first ISU regional Northeast European ice dance development training seminar will be conducted in Turin, Poland for novice and pre-novice dancers. The purpose is stated as being to reinitiate ice dance in countries that had couples before but have no or very little activity now, also the introduction of ice dance in new areas where it is not yet traditionally pursued. But there's news from Oberstdorf too, most notably music news from Nelly Giganchina and Alex Gaji. Not the literal pieces, but that their short will combine the polka with the waltz, where there will be unusual music pieces, and that their free dance will involve zombies. Some quick reports on other pairs as well. Malin Hausch and Daniel Vend are currently training there and have been since early June, but Stephanie Burton and Andre Kitarek are still in Detroit and will not return until August. But the biggest music news this week comes from Akiko Suzuki, who speaks of having her short, long, and exhibition all newly choreographed. She didn't say anything else about the last. But her short, choreographed by Angelika Krylova, is to Kill Bill, and her long, choreographed by Pascual Carlomengo, is to O from Cirque du Soleil. Further news, meanwhile, comes from Mishin's group in Italy, where choreography for Evgeny Plushenko has been happening this week, but it's Elizaveta Teknevisheva who's been giving interviews, and she has been getting a lot of choreography done. She apparently first went to Canada and had David Wilson choreograph Doria First Love short, and then along to a remix of Dark Eyes. She doesn't specify whether Edvin Martin is involved or not, but now she's getting another short and free choreographed by Tom Dixon in Italy, and will choose which programs she and her coaches like better. She said working with both choreographers have helped expand her as a skater, and she's particularly working on her choreography this summer, as well as her speed and her spins as she develops new ones, and even the triple axel, though she's not sure she'll have any new jumps competition ready this coming season. Carlomengo will also choreograph a short program for Michael Brezina. This was announced this weekend, along with the news that he will keep his untouchables long for another season. Down south, Stéphane Lambiel apparently is now working on Miki Ando's programs, but more important news is that he's also now recovered from the eye problems that he was diagnosed with right before Art on Ice Shanghai and have kept him off of the ice for a while after. The world's eyes, of course, have been on Colorado Springs, a city ravaged this past week by what is officially the most destructive wildfire in Colorado's recorded history, though as I record this Sunday evening, they have started to contain it and evacuees are starting to be allowed to return to their homes. Fortunately, USFSA headquarters, the arenas, and most of the skaters are located in the southern part of the city, which the fire hasn't reached. In fact, Jeremy Abbott's mother, Allison Scott, described it thus. On the southwest end of town, the sun is shining and there's no wind. On the northwest part of town, it looks like a bomb dropped. South of Highway 24, we are fine. It's like living on another planet. However, some skaters were evacuated. Perhaps most dramatically, the family of junior ice dancer Tyler Brooks, who had been in San Diego, returned to the news his father was stranded in their house and his family had to convince the police to let them drive in, with the police saying if anything went wrong, they wouldn't be able to help. Brooks tells the story, We drove to our house, and we could see the flames burning viciously in Mountain Shadows Subdivision, which is directly across the street from our house. We had 5 minutes to take what we needed from our house and get out. The electricity was out, so we couldn't see and grab stuff at random. We drove away through the flames. I could feel the heat from the blazing fire across the street. They got everyone out, but last night we watched our neighborhood burn on national television, and that was the scariest thing of my life. Then they crashed with the family of Tim Kaleido, but come Wednesday, they were required to evacuate too, with him in Lake Placid performing in the Young Artist Showcase final. Not skating very well, he called this week hell. He and new partner Madeline Rutledge eventually ended up at the house of Becky Bradley, sister of Ryan Bradley, and continued to train throughout the week, and it ended at least with good news. His house was not burned down. Junior para skater Kylie Duarte and her novice teammate also had to evacuate, and Joshua Ferris actually had to flee to Dallas because his asthma made it impossible to deal with the air. For those still in the city, Drew Meekins in the Inside Edge blog sums it up. Everyone knows someone who has had to evacuate or doesn't know the status of their house. The actual smoke in the air now has made it hard to breathe, and it makes you cough, it irritates your eyes, and makes your throat dry. They've told people to stay indoors and not open windows, and to use the recycle setting on the air conditioning in their cars. The biggest problem is that people feel helpless. When you evacuate, you basically take a few things and then just wait to find out if you have a house or not. People are not allowed back to find out. The highway was closed to let the thousands of people evacuate, so we are all trapped here. It's like Armageddon. There's smoke everywhere, and you hear sirens all the time. Up in Detroit, more Ice Dance news continues to come out, including an interview with the Detroit Skating Club's new arrivals from Canada, Alexandra Paul and Mitchell Islam. Neither had left Barrie before, and they explained, "We have total faith in our coaches at home, but we just needed to train with some older world-class teams." They finished both their new programs, including their Legend of 1900 free, which they describe as something lighter after last year's program, and will debut them in Lake Placid, the first time they've competed there together. Lake Placid rosters have actually revealed a bit more about who Mariners Hueva and Igor Spielbond are each now coaching, including the two new teams of Spielbonds who have been involved in causing all the commotion. They appear to be Ukrainian dancer Marina Barova with Canadian Alan Stoll, and Korean Yura Min with Sam Kaplan, a Ukrainian who competed at U.S. Nationals at the junior level this year. It seems likely both teams intend to represent the ladies' countries internationally. Zueva keeps the team of Alyssa Aronow and Colleen Brubaker, still intending to compete together on the senior level despite missing sectionals last year, and new Canadian junior teams Courtney Bay and Nick Toth, and also gains the Italian team of Federica Bernardi and Christopher Miar. For French coaching news, Pernell Caron and Lloyd Jones have reportedly gone to Britain, where they are now training under Marika Humphreys. And for a wider range, the Russian Yellow Press is currently claiming Marina Anasina is going to France to help prepare their team for Sochi. Also lurid stuff about how husband Russian actor Nikita Jarizgirda staying behind despite being offered French acting classes to teach because he doesn't like his mother-in-law, but is confident their marriage will be alright. As I record this Sunday evening, there's no corroboration on Anasina helping the French team for reliable sources yet, though the news is very recent, so... Registration for summer skating competitions have revealed a few new partnerships as well, both for Lake Placid and the Quebec Summer Championships. The latter will see the quick-moving Nicolaj Sorensen representing Denmark with one Laurence Fournier-Beaujery. And registered for both competitions are the new Canadian team of Audrey Dupont and Alexandre Laliberté, and Rachel Kirkland, now skating with American Matthew Kleffman. Lake Placid also includes the pairing of American Brittany Shoemaker and Russian Nikolai Babin. Elsewhere, an article about Travis Mager and another skater as college students mentions that his new partner is Alexandria Shonasi, and news has come of a new Finnish team of Audrey Madelon and Jan Nordman. In Paris news, the Quebec Championships announces two new junior pairs, Natasha Purish and Sebastian Archieri, and Naomi Boudreau and Maxime Deschamps. But unfortunately, there's also news of a breakup from the senior level of Naomi Arsenault and Simon Pierre Côté by his appearing on Ice Partner Search. In other breakup news, Emily Samuelson officially confirmed her and Todd Gillis' breakup on Facebook, explaining that neither of them were enjoying it anymore, and they decided neither should stick with the other under their circumstances. She thinks he's going back to coaching and is undecided for her own future. She wishes to keep competing, but isn't sure she'll be able to find another partner. But the big event from Lake Placid this week was the finale for the Young Artist Showcase. It was quite a show, with various other performers entertaining the audience around the four numbers of the competition, with finalists Mark Henready and Garrett Kling first faced a blind number trio challenge, where both were provided with Madison Hubble, Zachary Donahue, Ryan Bradley, and the Seal song, If I Could, and with what each produced with it, to be shown to the judges without them knowing who had choreographed which routine. Apparently, both guys had a lot of trouble with their skaters during the rehearsal, and viewers doubted whether either would have their number ready, but when the time came, the three skaters pulled everything off. Kling's number, which was shown first, focused more on giving Bradley and the Ice Dance team a chance to show off their normal tricks, sometimes simultaneously a la Fallen Angels, with the former even getting a backflip in. While Hat and Rennie made them more of a trio throughout, with each getting a chance to do their own thing only once in the number, while the others stay still and watch them, and included a spectacular move where Bradley helped Donahue swing Hubble above the ice. Hat and Rennie won that challenge. In the second round, the choreographer's choice, which both contestants performed themselves, Kling shed his jacket for a creative storytelling number set to jazz music and outscored Mark Hanratty's tango, but not by enough. When the numbers crunched together, Hanratty won by half a point. Across the pond, another big show happened Thursday night in the Nottingham Ice Center, thanks to the arrival of the Olympic torch into town, though it was hindered by lightning storms, actually requiring the relay to pause and wait for them to pass over. Hosted by Robin Cousins, and with choir and band performing, the show included 200 skaters, mostly ones who skate in the center, which included a 2011 British men's champion David Richardson, who skated to fever, and the Bucklands, Joseph and Nicholas, skating with partners Olivia Smart and Penny Coombs, the latter doing a Michael Jackson medley. Others included 65-year-old, recent Dancing on Ice celebrity contestant Rosemary Conley, and 4-year-old Tristan Cousins, son of Stephen Cousins and Elena Bereznaya, both skating alongside a class of adult skaters. Put together by the Ice Center's artistic director, Mark Naylor, it formed a narrative of developing into a professional ice skater, though there were also appearances from synchronized skaters, speed skaters, and the local ice hockey teams. Finally, the penultimate torchbearer of the day, cancer survivor and advocate John Dabell, brought the flame into the arena and passed it on to Jane Torval and Christopher Dean, who had originally trained in the old ice arena built on that site on their way to Olympic gold and legend. The two of them performed a routine to music specially composed by Paul Farrer that involved other skaters forming Olympic rings, before it was just the two of them, with him initially carrying the torch before passing it on to her halfway through. The two of them would later carry the flame to Nottingham's Old Market Square, where it lit a cauldron in which to spend the night. And finally, a little mystery solved. There had been reports already that Bauasada had been spotted in Budapest, with no one sure what she was doing there. But this weekend, she gave a local interview and revealed she came to work a week with Zoltán Nagy, who has been known as a choreographer, but she's not using him in that capacity, apparently, just for ballet work and general off-ice training, and things went so well, she's stayed an extra week. Most of the questions of the interview were very generic. But she talked about how she's grown a lot since the Olympics, and her muscles have been having trouble adapting, which is partly the cause of some of her bad results, and work with Nagy may help alleviate this. And that is This Week in Figure Skating. Good night.